You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
Hey guys, Randy Zuckerberg here.
Hi everyone, it's Neil Patel, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle.
This is the motherfucking CEO, Andy Frisella. You're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle with Alex Quinn.
What's up, y'all? This is Alex Quinn. We are Hustle Inspires Hustle. Nick Santanastasso, thanks for having us, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hey! Yeah,
you crushed my last name, too. That was great.
Dude, I look up to you a lot, man. I remember the first time that I came across you, like saw you, experienced you, was in Tampa at SocialX.
Okay.
Dude, that was fantastic. And you've grown tremendously since then, as have I. You came on the podcast before. We did it via Zoom. Now we're in person. And I'm very excited. I really am, because you've developed tremendously. You have really cool things going on. You've traveled the world. You've done so many amazing things, despite a lot of challenges that life may throw your way. So I know in the previous episode, we talked a little bit about who you are, but I want to retouch on that. You know, we have a lot of new listeners, and I'd love for you to give us, you know, a little bit of background of, you know, who you are, where you come from.
Yeah, absolutely. So whether you're listening or watching, we'll probably give you context of why I look like this.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm 26 years old, and I was born with a rare genetic disorder called Hanhart syndrome.
Hanhart.
Yep. Hanhart. Okay. And Hanhart either leaves the babies with undeveloped limbs or undeveloped organs. Mm-hmm. And so at the time of my birth in 1996, I was the 12th baby in medical history that they've ever seen this happen to. Mm-hmm. And out of the 12, eight of those babies have passed away due to undeveloped organs. And so they gave my parents about it. They said I got about a 30% chance to live to my parents. And I came out of the womb, and all my limbs, well, not all my organs were 100% healthy. And the only thing that was affected were my limbs. And so born with no legs, one arm, and grateful to be here. And so we can get into all the different identities and hats that I wore, but that is why I look like this.
Okay. how are your teen years, bro? Like, how was that?
Teen years. Yeah. So we can take it through the full childhood.
Yeah.
I was the last child. So my parents had four children in total, including me. And okay. So they had time to split test, right, with the other children. And so when I was born, they took a very interesting approach, because what do you do when your son is born with no legs, one arm, right? Like, you're never prepared for that.
Right.
And I'll never know, right? Like, if my kid comes out normal, like, I'll never know what that perspective or that unique experience is as well. And so my parents took this pretty interesting route where they would only give me verbal suggestions, and they never do the work for me. Now, of course, when I'm like a baby, like, they're doing the work for me. Yeah. But as I grew up, they would, you know, put my clothes in front of me and say, hey, you know, figure it out. And they give me verbal suggestions, and I'd fall on my face, and I'd be so pissed off. And here's your food, Nick, like, here's a fork, or here's a spoon, and here's some waffles, like, get after it. And at the time, I don't know if they even knew what they were doing, but at the time it was programming my brain to be solution oriented. And that's a game changer, because if you look around in the world, most humans are always focused on the problem. And what you need to understand that is your problems need focus to live. Your focus is the gasoline to your problems. And so if you've ever had a small teeny weeny problem in your life and you focus all your energy on it, it becomes massive and overwhelming, and it can cripple and handicap you. It's because you're only focused on the problem. And so at an early age, I was very solution oriented, which we can bring this into the entrepreneurship world and business. Like, you get paid in direct correlation to the problems that you solve. Yep. You want to make more money, solve bigger problems, and be solution oriented. And so that was one of the greatest things that I've got cultivated into my brain at an early age, being born like this and the way that I was raised. But the other thing that was very powerful that I still use to this day and I still implement it is I became friends with failure.
Hmm.
Failure was everywhere I went, bro.
Yeah, right? Embraced it.
Everything, like getting on a chair, feeding myself, getting dressed. Like, I failed at everything. And so my relationship with failure wasn't negative. My relationship with failure was like, oh, this thing is part of the process. And the faster that I fail, the faster they get feedback. The faster that I get feedback, the faster that I can succeed. And I think oftentimes people really have to evaluate or reevaluate their relationship with failure. We don't start businesses because, what if I fail? Or we don't launch the podcast because, what if it flops? What if it fails? Or we don't launch that webinar. We don't put ourselves out on camera because we're afraid of failure. And what if every single time that you experience failure or discomfort, that was your creator telling you you were moving in the right direction. Because I could tell you this, average people don't experience failure. Yeah. They just experience
they
comfort.
Settle. Yeah, they settle in their bubble.
Right? And so those were a few things that cultivated me at an early age, was one, developing a great relationship with failure, but also being solution-oriented and understanding that discomfort and challenges and trials and tribulations is a part of the process. And, you know, you can even reflect with the question of, do you learn more from your wins or your losses? We learn more from our losses all day. And so that would be my little insight of my childhood, is like, lean into the uncertainty, lean into the failure. The only difference, like, everybody looks up to people on social media. I look up to people, you look up to people, maybe you look up to me.
Yeah.
And everybody looks up to these people, and the thing you need to understand is the only difference between you and the person that you want to be or the person that you strive to be is time, and they failed more than you did.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you, well, I'm sure you don't see it as a failure now. Like, everything that you've gone through that maybe has been a challenge is just been a stepping stone, because I don't see anything holding you back. And, like, you know, despite the fact that you have all these challenges, I don't see your narrative ever being like, ever feeling sorry for myself or I couldn't do this. You actually do shit that people who don't look like you or have more possibilities than you actually don't do because they're lazy or because they feel that they can't. I just feel like it's the way your parents raised you, or the way you were just mentioning that they would put things in front of you, give you the option, even if it was maybe difficult for you to engage at that point, that may have essentially created the foundation for how you think and who you are now.
Yeah, 100%. I will admit, I'm 26. I would say for the majority of my life, though, I was a victim, right? Yeah. And I'm not, 100%. I'm not preaching, like, I want to let people know, I'm not preaching from a place of, like, I was always a victor. I was always victorious. Majority of my life, I was a victim. So although, like, they did those things and they raised me a specific way, getting into our teen years, I can remember middle school and high school, you know, were the lowest, darkest moments of my life. Mm. And I think my biggest pain was girls. Okay. Right. And so you get into middle school and high school and everybody wants girlfriends and everybody wants boyfriends. And I wasn't getting the love that I thought I received from the ladies. And what we need to understand is, based off specific experiences, you then develop beliefs about who you are and what you're capable of if you let those experiences define you. And there was a specific moment in my life where I was on a school bus and there was a girl to the left of me and she was making fun of everyone on the bus. And I'm like, oh, damn, like, she's going to eat me up. Right. She's going to have a field day with me. And she looked me in my eyes. I'm about 13, 14 years old. And she said, Nick, I don't even have to start with you. You're already too messed up anyway. Look at your body. And she left it at that. And I was like shocked, right? Like, what do you do as a 13, 14 year old boy? And this girl makes fun of you. And because of that specific experience, I developed beliefs about my body. Like, oh, I am disgusting. I started to believe it. Fuck. Like, I am disgusting. Girls don't like me. I'll never go to my junior prom. I'll never go to my senior prom. I'll never have a wife. And what tends to happen if you let the brain run the show and you don't teach your brain and you just let your brain do what it wants, your brain is the best detective in the world, meaning it'll always find evidence to prove your beliefs right.
Mm.
That's why you have to have really good beliefs or else you're screwed.
Yeah.
Right. And so if I have a belief that girls don't like me, I'm going to find every small piece of evidence or create it. Mm-hmm. It may not even be real.
You'll auto sabotage yourself.
100%. It may not even be real, but I create the scenario to prove my belief right. And so my belief was like, oh, this body's disgusting. I'll never have a girlfriend. I didn't go to my junior prom. I didn't go to my senior prom, all because of these specific experiences. And now that there's a few things I want to cover on this. If I could go back on that school bus, I wish I can hug that little girl. Now that my awareness is expanded, I've evolved, right? I'm elevated, I ascended. That little girl must have been hurting so bad.
To always make fun of everybody.
Right?
You know, and to say something so fucked up.
Right, exactly. Like, that girl must have been hurting so bad that she had to take it out on a kid with no legs and one arm. And so people need to understand that are listening, is that hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And so when someone's attacking you, and someone's hating on you, understand that it's not you. That person's struggling, right? It doesn't give them an excuse, but one of the greatest things you could do is have compassion and try to understand people's model of the world and where they're coming from, so it doesn't affect you as much. And so that pain of girls was my leverage, right? And if you talk about change and transformation, humans will change for two reasons. They'll change for pain or they'll change for pleasure. But humans will always run away from pain faster than the run towards pleasure. That's why we don't start going to the gym until your doctor tells you you're fat. You don't leave the relationship until someone hits you, you get emotionally abused. You don't leave the job, listen to this podcast, start a business until you're at rock bottom and your boss, you know, fires you or it says something that you just hit your pain threshold. Everybody listening right now can think back to a moment in their life where they hit a pain threshold where they said, that's it. I'm done.
Done tolerating.
Right? Yeah. I'm done. And so that pain pushed me to figure out how to build confidence, how to build self-worth, how to love my body, how to become an athlete. And that was the shift. That pain pushed me to become a wrestler. And my older brother, who now had passed away, my older brother was a wrestler. And I always wanted to be like my brother. And all my best friends are wrestlers. And they were like, Nick, you know, why don't you try wrestling? And I was like, my arm, you know, I can't my arm. And they're like, what do you mean by that? I was like, well, my arm's, you know, the bone is growing faster than my skin. It's super sensitive. And if I hit my arm hard enough, my bone would have came through my skin. And solution-oriented Nick was like, oh, I have an idea. And so I came home one day and I sat both my parents down. I said, Mom and Dad, you know, I want to become a wrestler. And they're like, absolutely not. You know, what about your arm? And I was like, can we cut my arm off? And they're like, what do you mean cut your arm off? I was like, I don't know. You know, doctors can do some crazy things. Like, can we amputate my arm? Can we do something about it? And
how old are you?
I was 15.
And you were down to cut your arm off.
Yeah, 100%.
You're dead set.
100%.
Oh, man.
And they were like, is this something that you really want to do? And I said, one, it's going to allow me to become a wrestler. Two, it is painful. And three, I think it's going to help me build confidence. And I'll be able to do more physical activities and really leverage this body as much as I can. And so my sophomore year of high school, they scheduled the appointment for me to amputate my arm. And they amputated 5 inches of this guy off. And I came out the happiest kid that just cut his arm off. And that led me to wrestling. But I don't know where you want to go with this because I'll keep talking.
No, keep going.
And so I go back to school, cut my arm off, didn't tell anyone I was doing it. And they're like, Nick, what'd you do? I was like, you know, I cut my arm off. I'm going to become a wrestler. And there was a percentage of people that supported and there was a percentage of people that hated. And what we need to understand in life is...
Hated people, because they thought you made a bad decision cutting your arm or...
You can't become a wrestler. Like, let's be realistic, right? Like, I get you cut your arm off, but like, Nick, like...
But still, yeah.
Yeah, like, but okay. Still, you can't do that, right? And we need to understand there's always going to be haters and naysayers, right? There's always going to be people that throwing stones, but you need to understand that people are always throwing stones up. Don't let that go over your head.
Yeah.
Right? People are always throwing stones up because they're lower than you, right? Yeah. So anyone throwing stones will never be throwing stones down. They'll always be throwing stones up.
That's why Eminem said, to all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony.
Yeah, exactly. Bars, right? And so I went ahead and I became a wrestler and I became a varsity wrestler my senior year. And to tie this up is, one, the pain, leverage the pain in order to change, right? Had that transformation, which, by the way, you don't have to wait for pain to change. A lot of you listening right now, you don't need to wait until it hurts bad enough. Like, change now. Start implementing now. Like, don't wait for the pain. The other thing is, I was looking for the secret sauce. And what I've realized the secret sauce is confidence. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, that's kind of cliche. Well, the bottom line is you will never make more than you think you're worth.
That's right.
Ever.
Facts.
In every area of your life, your body, your mind, your relationships, and your wealth. Like, if you don't think you're worth the hot girl or the hot guy, you'll get in the relationship and then be like, holy shit, and you'll self-sabotage and you'll push them away and you'll destroy it, right? We're talking about auto self-sabotage. Yeah. Or we've all had the moment where we have a month where we make amazing money and then we blow it on shit we don't need. And we're like, oh, where'd the money go, right? And it's just because you want to sabotage it somehow. Or everybody listening's probably had a moment where you lost the weight and then you found it. You found more weight, right? So we self-sabotage it. And so I was looking for this foundational piece, and it was confidence. And the very simple formula for confidence is do the shit that you say you're going to do, right? Oftentimes we have all these humans running around Earth promising this and promising that to themselves. I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to start the business and I'm going to launch the podcast. And then you don't. And you don't realize that on an unconscious level or a subconscious level, you're actually diminishing the relationship you have within yourself.
Yep.
You can't even believe yourself, right?
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. Can't trust yourself to do what you want to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, you're the boy who cried breakthrough, the boy who cried I'm gonna build a business, the boy who cried I'm gonna launch the podcast. Like, you say you're gonna do some shit, but you don't do it. So confidence is building undeniable proof that you are who you say you are.
Yeah.
And so that's how I started was with wrestling, was building this confidence and following through in the shit that I said I was gonna do. I said I was gonna cut my arm off. I did that shit. I said I was gonna be a wrestler. I did it, right?
Some brave shit for a 15-year-old. Mom, dad, cutting my arm off. Obviously, it was sensible, right? If your arm was perfectly fine, you're gonna cut your arm off, but you knew that you just didn't make the excuse. That's the key. You look for solutions. You didn't look for problems or felt sorry for. Sure, you felt sorry for yourself many times. Everybody feels sorry for themselves at one point due to insecurities, due to people telling them shit. But like you said, it's all about the data. What data is coming into your brain? How are you interpreting that data? And also your circle.
Yeah.
That's big. That's been a big thing for you, right? Your support system.
100%. I got beat up like my siblings, just like anybody else. My parents kind of pushed me into everything. And my friends were luckily scary big wrestler guys that were like, yo, you're gonna do this, and like you're not gonna bitch out. And so I had an amazing support team around me. But like I said, it was the pain of not feeling enough. Like even now, like I can say with certainty, like you look at my life, I'm 26 years old, 2 7-figure companies, like world tour Tony Robbins, like I've done amazing things, but I can say the majority of my building comes from me trying to fill a void of love me. Am I enough yet?
Yeah.
Help me, right? And I feel like just now at 26, I'm getting to the point where like I finally am starting to love myself. It took a long time. And the training never stops, but now I come into the room or I come into a speaking engagement knowing I'm enough. And I don't teach and I don't preach from a place of trying to prove something. I teach and preach from a place of like, I already know I'm the shit.
Yeah.
And if you listen to what I say, you'll be the shit too.
Yeah.
You know, but I like people can relate to that. Like everybody listening, like
it's nice to see you in that place.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Right.
It's really nice to see you.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. But like, I think a lot of us, our creation and the way that we dress and the way that we do that, like a lot of it's just like, love me. Yeah. Am I enough yet? Please accept me. And the truth is like that's seeking external validation. Like even now, bro, I still catch myself like, Nick, why are you posting that Snapchat? You know, or why is it a flex? Or like, what are you trying to get? What are you trying to get? And I always analyze myself, but like,
and don't ever stop though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's why you're the way you are. Because if you don't analyze yourself, then you're like, all right, I'm doing everything perfect. But maybe you're not. Maybe you're just being a negative asshole to yourself the whole time, and you're just going downhill.
When
you auto like, when you like a marketer, like analyzing a marketing plan or entire like breakdown of a business, you need to analyze yourself. How am I communicating? How am I talking? Why am I doing this? Why am I uploading that? Why do I find myself hanging out with these people? Why do I consume this? Why do I consume that? And then you start to understand yourself a lot more and why you do things. And that's ultimately what we need to do until our last day on earth, because we learn every day until every last minute, until every last breath that we have on this earth, we're learning something new.
100%. And then you touched on it, like the foundation is awareness.
Yeah.
And understanding that we only know what we know and we can only see what we can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you look at neuroplasticity and the studies on the brain, it shows by the age of 35, you are 95%
unconscious. 95%
unconscious. Unconscious.
Unpack that.
Let's break it down.
Yeah.
Right? Your thoughts, your actions, your words, your emotions, your triggers is habitual. It's on autopilot because your brain doesn't want to take up much energy. So that means 5% of you is really conscious trying to make a drastic change. People ask me all the time, Nick, why is change so hard? Why is changing my life so hard? The reason being is because your brain doesn't want you to change. Your brain's thousands of years old and its sole purpose is to keep you alive, right? And back then, it was trying to keep you alive from the saber-toothed tiger coming to kill you and your tribe. But now, 2023, But now we don't have that. So we have different fears, right? We have different fears that pop up. We have fears of failure. We have fear of success. We have fear of rejection, which under fear of rejection is fear of not being loved, not being enough. Mm. Fear of public speaking, apparently, right? That's a big one as well. Not for me, clearly, right?
No, but you rock that shit.
Right? But there's all these different fears. And so your brain is always trying to keep you away from the fears. Fear of starting the business, fear of going up to that girl, fear of going up to that guy, right? And I call these override moments. And what override moments is if you really want to unwire and rewire your brain, which by the way, neuroplasticity, the definition is no matter how young or how old, you can unwire and rewire your brain, luckily for everybody listening. Yeah. And so anytime that you experience fear and fear comes up and you take action anyway, you're developing a muscle of overriding your fears. Right. And so how many times in your life you can reflect back on something that you were really afraid to do and then you did it and you were like, huh, it wasn't so bad after all.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're like, damn, you can even think about like, what would I be doing how would I be serving? How would I be showing up? Or how much further ahead would I be if I didn't let fear get in the way?
Yeah.
If I knew how to leverage it, if I knew what it was, right? So going back to 95% unconscious is like, have you ever had a moment where you snapped on someone and you're like, whoa, that wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was unconscious. You just did it, yeah. Right? And so going back to awareness is like everything is all about awareness. If 95% of what you do is unconscious and you can't see it, if you have a coach or a mentor or a baby Yoda like me that can put a spotlight on something that you cannot see, then you can strip power away from it. But if you don't have new voices and new perspectives and new people around you that can see things that you can't see, you'll be stuck in your own box. That's why Conor McGregor, Kobe Bryant, any of the greatest athletes, they were great athletes because they also had coaches who can see things that they can't see.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
You want to know something crazy that I remembered while you were just talking and, you know, talking about the whole public speaking thing? In Tampa, when I first came across you, I had been depressed for like a week. It was like a week and I was just in a really bad place, bro. And I had to host that day. I was the host for the event. And I was just wasn't feeling, I didn't even know what to say. I think that fear of public speaking in my depression like kind of kicked in because I had never felt like that until you hit the stage. And you started talking, dude, and you like, I don't know what the fuck you said, man, but you flipped a switch in my brain. And it was, I think it was the following week or like the following few weeks, I went to Japan. And while I was on a train in Japan, I started writing a book that I haven't finished. And the first chapter starts with you.
Oh, wow.
Switching a flip, like flipping a switch in my brain, being like, wow, everything he said made so much sense. I need to look at things differently. Mm. And I saw you in Tampa and that shit stayed with me. And I was halfway across the fucking world on a train, literally. And you stuck, like you are on my mind.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That
like,
is crazy.
Imagine how many more people like you've done that to. Like, because you probably don't realize it. You know what I'm saying? Like you're you and you're already used to being you. And like, this is part of your life, podcasts or speaking on Tony Robbins events. But the shit you say to people or in front of people sticks with them and might really change their life, bro. Mm. Like you're doing crazy shit. And you know, in moments when we feel down, like we need to remember the good that we've done to ourselves and to others, because we get caught up, and I'll speak for myself, I get caught up trying to do all these things and trying to check off all the boxes that I guess I tell myself I need to check off, or that society like makes us think that we need to check off. But at the end of the day, like how blessed we really are. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the lives that we could change, the lives that you could save, you know, maybe like there's people that may be dealing with a physical challenge that they thought impossible. And then they hear, well, Nick cut 5 inches off his arm so he could become a wrestler and then went off to build massive audience, build successful businesses, get attention from people who are actually changing the world. What the hell is stopping you? Mm. The fuck's your excuse? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I really appreciate like who you are, like what you've become and the attitude that you have. And like sitting, I hadn't seen you in a while, but sitting with you speaking here, you look good, bro. Like you're fucking jacked, bro. Like I don't even fucking work out. What the fuck, dude? You look solid. Like you're good looking, man. You look sharp. Like that's the shit that you need to be on. And it means a lot to me that you're here, bro. I know you drove from fucking far as shit to be here. And it's super, super dope to be sitting here with you, because I look up to you. And I want people to know, like, that life is going to be hard. Life is going to be hard regardless. But you got to keep going. You got to talk to better people. You got to go to events. You got to get out there. Because before, you said, when you were in maybe middle school, maybe you were in high school, I'm not going to go to prom. Now you go to prom every day. It's your fucking prom. I'm going to show up. I'm opening up for Tony Robbins. This is my event. You know what I'm saying? Like, life changed, but nothing physically in you changed. It changed in your mind.
100%.
And in that mind change, you change the world for yourself. Yeah. Talk to me about, I know you have an inner circle. I know you have your business. Yeah. I don't just want to talk about the limitations that Nick Santanas Tasso has had in life, because that's not who you are. Okay. That's just something that is.
Yeah.
Who you are is your attitude, your character, your ability to help others. What are you currently working on business wise? What's going on within your world of business?
Yeah, for sure. I want to acknowledge you first for that compliment. If you thought I was great back then, man, you should see me on stage now. That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
That was like one of my first speaking engagements. So I really appreciate that compliment. It means the world. And what happened was, we call it the law of exposure. The law of exposure states, once I'm exposed, I cannot be unexposed.
Mm-hmm.
So I expose you to a mental syntax that you couldn't see life the same. You're like, I can't get this guy out of my head, right? Because once you're exposed, you can't be unexposed. If I take you on a private jet, you're not going to want to fly Spirit again, right? That's just the standard that you've been exposed to. And so I want to acknowledge you for that. I really appreciate that. By the way, I don't even know how you're here, because you just had a little baby. So I want to congratulate you and acknowledge you. Is that okay to say it on
yeah,
camera?
A few hours ago, my baby was born.
10 hours out of the womb. Yeah. Right? And you're here. So I appreciate you being here.
Of course, man.
So what you mentioned, right? Like the internal change. Now, this is the most important thing, because from an outside perspective, you see a man with no legs of an arm. You're like, this guy's screwed. But in reality, it's like I have a specific mental syntax. I have a specific psychology that allows me to do these amazing things. Oftentimes, we think it's the mechanics that's the problem. But in reality, y'all been to conferences, you've listened to podcasts, you have strategies. Why don't you take action on them? Because your psychology gets in the way. And so right now, more than ever, with the uncertainty, there's fear all around you, recession, wars, whatever it may be, the greatest skill and the greatest place that you can put your time is mastering your internal world. Now, there's two worlds. There's the external world and there's the internal world. The external world can influence you. It can influence you, but the internal world you have full control over. And if you're a leader, if you're a creator, if you're a business owner, whatever it may be, is you want to bring certainty to uncertain times. And the way that you can do that is start mastering your internal world. Hmm. But oftentimes we think, well, Nick, I already know mindset. I already know psychology. And I would challenge you.
That shows you don't, because if you did, then you wouldn't say that.
100%. And the very belief that you think you'd mastered something is the very belief that's holding you back from the next level of life.
Yeah.
Right. And so just to recap, I've done some amazing things. We've built businesses. What I'm really excited right now is a few things that I'd like to touch on. The first thing is, this next month, April will be 3 months since my brother passed away from a heroin and fentanyl overdose. Right. So not coming back, passed away. Appreciate that. And finding the gift in every situation, I've now gotten to the industry of alcohol and drug rehab centers and helping people lower relapse levels through personal development. So now I am a part owner in We Level Up, which is alcohol and drug rehab centers, 7 centers in 5 states. And so that's fulfilling work that I'm doing as well, that I'm really passionate about. And the other thing is, for the past 3-4 years, all of my coaching was high ticket. Very high ticket. It was very small groups. You had to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. And at this point where the world is, I was like, this isn't feasible for everyone. And everybody needs me, right? I love myself so much. I'm like, everybody needs what I have to say.
Yeah.
And so I dropped an inner circle where basically people get live mentoring from me a couple times a month. I bring in millionaire mentors. I upgrade your network, upgrade your psychology, and I upgrade your passive income and your active income. And it's literally, I think we're doing a free trial. You can literally join for 7 days for free. And if you like it, you do it. If you don't, it's free.
Where can we find it?
So mindofavictor.com.
Okay, mindofavictor.com.
Right? And basically,
I'll link that in the show notes as well, y'all, so you can check it out.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And at 26, I can dedicate my success to 3 things: coaching, consistency, and community. Right? My community elevates me. They support me. I get business deals, networks, resources, whatever it may be. Coaching, I have a coach for everything. I have a coach for my physical body. I have a coach for inner child work. I have a coach for my money. I have a coach for relationships. Like, I have a coach in everything.
Inner child work.
Like trauma, inner child work, like anything that I can do to heal, right? Because me
from the past too as well. I do a lot of that.
100%. Yeah, because as I would consider myself as a healer, I can only take people as far as I've gone.
Yeah.
I can only heal people as far as I've healed, right? So I have a coach in every area of my life, and then consistency. Right. And so there inside the inner circle, there's a life dashboard that allows you to put your whole life there and make sure that you're consistent. And you have Nick with his non-existent leg kicking you in the ass every single week inside the community.
Non-existing leg.
You know what I'm saying? So those are the 3 things that really dedicated
you're
my success.
Fool,
and more people need me. And so it's very low ticket.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to be in there.
When you were You said your first speaking engagement was in Tampa. Was that your first speaking engagement in Tampa?
That was one of the first speaking engagements.
I felt like you had been doing that forever, bro.
Did you go to classes or something?
No, for real.
I appreciate that.
I was like, what the fuck? I got caught off guard. It was my favorite one of the day, and there were some pretty crazy people there.
Yeah, thank you. I spoke at schools here and there, but that was one of my first speaking engagements, and I think there was a hidden skill of articulating messages and stories and storytelling that I didn't know I had. Mm. And so it was just me exercising the muscle. And now at this point, I've got some reps in, and I would claim I'm top 10 in the world, top 5.
The best claim their spot?
Yeah, 100%.
You got to talk your shit.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Like, yeah. So
that's the biggest, in what you do.
I got the whale, yeah.
That's the biggest stage in the world.
100%. So that was the mindset of when we started building this company. I was like, man, if I can get the blessing from Tony, if I can get the head nod from Tony, I don't need any of you guys. I just need Tony. And so how that came about was, at the time, we couldn't afford tickets to Tony's event. And so we all pitched in. It was me and my two business partners, and we pitched in for my ticket. We emailed them, got my ticket upgraded to like Tony's personal section, which was cool. And then they crewed, so they volunteered. And our whole goal was not only for me to learn and study Tony, but to plant seeds about who I was to anyone and anyone and everyone. And so security guards, concierge, like you name it, I'm like, I'm Nick and this is my story. And I'm just like planting seeds.
Expose yourself, yeah.
And we did that so much to the point where day three, Tony comes off stage and he's like, I want to stop real quick. I've been hearing this guy, Nick's name all around here. Apparently he's a speaker. Let's give it up for him. And like, that was my acknowledgement. Tony gave me a knowledge. I was like, oh, there's something here. And so that day I got to go backstage with, there was a few other people to meet him and take pictures. And he's like, I want you to come to my next event. So I went to the next event and I attended it and I planted seeds and I was like, hey, if there's ever a spot, you know, to his team, if there's ever a spot on UPW, like I'd love to speak. And they're like, oh, that's not really realistic, but we'll keep you in mind. And a year went by of like Ratmir, like, hey, Nick climbed a mountain. Hey, Nick wrote a book. Hey, Nick did this. Oh, he's on this stage.
Context, Ratmir, your manager.
Yeah. Business partner. And just planting seeds, nothing. And about a year and a half goes by and they're like, hey, Tony has a youth leadership. He's not there. It's just like a foundation that he's a part of. Will you speak for them? I was like, great. And they're like, we can't pay you. We can't fly you out and we can't get your hotel. And immediately Ratmir is the yin to my yang. My ego's like, screw that. And Ratmir's like, oh, hell no. He's like, we're doing anything we can to build this relationship. And so people don't know this, but I worked behind the scenes for Tony's foundation for like 1 to 2 years. And finally, after 2 years, they were like, hey, there's a spot on UPW and you're the first in line. Would you speak? And I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go. And they're like, we'll test you out on day 4. I've already studied all Tony's speaking. I know his language. I know how he transforms rooms. I know how he changes your physiology. I've done NLP. I've got all of my certifications. Like, I'm ready for this moment. And so I knew if I burned it down day 4 that Tony would see it. Went, burned it down in Dallas, Texas, day 4. And Tony was like, we want you on tour for everything.
So you went on a whole tour.
I'm still on tour.
You're still on tour
every
right now.
Single UPW that Tony does, I'm on that stage.
Oh my God, bro. But 2 years. That's the shit people don't see, though.
They don't see that.
That's the shit.
Not many people even know that story.
The team. You know, it's the team. Ratmir, yo, dude. What's up, man? Like, this is the opportunity. Maybe it's not what we wanted, but let's work towards it.
And still to this day, I can go anywhere in the world, and people are like, I saw you on Tony's stage. And what a blessing, right? To not only get compensated, but to be in proximity. And people are like, how are you such a great speaker? It's because my standard is the best in the world. My standard is Tony. Yeah. How could I fall short? He's been speaking for 40 years, right? And the whole point of a coach is to condense time for you. And so if this man's been speaking for 40 years, look what I've been accomplished in 5 and 6 years. It's all because of that guy.
The first day where I was like, all right, finally, I got my spot. I'm going to speak. How was that? How was that day? Before getting on stage, who were you with? Like, give me a mental, like put me in the room.
Yeah, I'm with my two business partners. We fly out to this event, and this is a guy that at first I was like, this guy's a god, right? I saw him speak on stage the first time. He spoke for 13 hours straight. I was like, how does someone do that? Didn't get off stage for 13 hours, had the energy, people crying, laughing, you name it. I was like, I want to do what that guy does. And so when I had the opportunity to speak, it was like my biggest event. It was probably like 10,000 people, and I had my slot's like 20, 25 minutes. And I was like, man, I'm going to give this, I'm going to give everything I got in 20, 25 minutes. I'm going to totally lay it out on the stage. And I remember going out there and being blown away by the crowd and the energy, and then going backstage. It's very interesting. I think like rappers and stuff can relate to this in the sense of 1 minute there's 10,000 people screaming for you, and then the next minute you're alone in your green room.
Dead silence.
Right? And you're like looking at your phone and people are like blowing up and everybody's texting you. And so it's a great honor. And I made a promise to myself close to Social X during that time. There was an event, this was years ago, there was an event that I got picked up. I was on the speaker list. Like I got there like 2 days before the event, and they were like, hey, we'll give you a breakout room. I'm like, this is going to be amazing. And it was the first breakout room session that I had like merchandise. I was going to sell merchandise. Mm-hmm. And I showed up and there was two people in the audience. And I remember myself getting so down and like pissed off and like ego, and like I didn't serve the way that I should have served those people. And I just like took it for granted. And I promised myself, I said, I will never be that man again. No matter if there's 10,000 people in the crowd or there's one person, I'm going to fucking serve that person to the best of my ability. I'll never take this moment for granted. Yeah. So every single time that I get to serve, I thank my creator for the opportunity to do his work and allow him to come through me. I'm just the messenger nowadays.
Yeah.
I ain't Nick. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the beacon. I'm just the microphone, and allow my creator to speak through me.
What are some of your most memorable moments touring or being public figure, Nick? Because there's Nick, the family man, and who you are when, let's say, there's no microphones or cameras. And then there's when you're doing your thing, you're working, you're networking. What have been some of your most memorable moments as business, Nick? Outside of Tony, of course.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say my parents coming to my biggest event, which was a Tony event. It was 15,000 people in Miami Heat Arena. And I got to acknowledge them in front of those people for not aborting me. You know, because the doctors were like, hey, you should probably institutionalize him, or you should probably abort him. We don't think he's going to survive. And so I got to acknowledge them because I wouldn't be here without them. And so to be able to do that and have them cry, it was a very fulfilling moment. So that was a really amazing moment.
That's been your biggest audience so far? 15,000?
15,000 live. The other day I was in Tony's studio. We did 40,000 people virtually.
Which is way more impressive, but nothing...
Nothing beats in person.
Yeah.
So that was one specific moment. I think another specific moment that comes up to me was there was a video I saw on Instagram of a kid with no legs and arms, and he was like walking. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm walking like Nick does.
Oh, shit.
I was like, what? Is that me? You know, is he talking about me? Is there another Nick? I don't know. But like to be able to see the trickle effect and to set a standard or to pave the way for other kids that are being born with limb differences, I think that's
a big
game.
Yeah, because one thing
is
you in like changing the lives of your average Joe. And one thing is for you to change the life of somebody who's dealing with maybe something exactly like you. And you're like, holy shit. Yeah. Okay, like you're doing it.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference in somebody's life.
Yep. And I would give you one final moment was the moment I signed my first ownership deal of a rehab center.
Yeah.
I gifted percentage to my parents to help them retire.
Good.
And so the moment that thing's up and running and it's saving lives and it's producing cash as well, that will get trickled down to my parents and help them retire.
Which is great too, man, because, you know, part of, I mean, outside in, looking at you from outside in, the legacy that you're leaving behind speaks for itself, for yourself, for the people that you're helping, but also your family. You know, you've gone through your challenges and gone through difficult things, but you still have your parents. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe even family members, not because you made their life difficult or anything, but maybe it's because they hurt for you, because maybe they saw you going through something and they didn't want you to feel that way. Mm-hmm. So now you being able to be a leader in your family, despite the fact you have so many challenges, you are now creating you're creating the pathway for everybody else moving forward. Like, it's like, hey, no, not in this family.
Mm-hmm.
That shit doesn't fly here.
Yeah.
Like, look at Nick and look what Nick's been able to accomplish. Maybe in 100 years when we're no longer here and people are listening to this, is like, look what he did. Yeah. Don't give me any bullshit that you couldn't show up or they didn't pay you or you didn't get to. No, just do it. And I know for a fact, Nick, you are going to be one of the most recognized people of our generation because your story just started. Mm-hmm. You just started, bro. You're 26. The fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. There's movies on the way. There's shows on the way. There's books on the way. And it's not because, I'm not saying because I talked to you or because I'm saying because I see that.
Thank you, brother.
And I want it to get there because what the fuck? You speaking with Tony Robbins, bro? Like, you're jumping on stage and, like, saying all this shit. And then you have all these people feeling sorry for themselves all the time and making excuses about this person hurt me, that person hurt me. Nah. You're on some shit, bro. Like,
thank you, bro.
It makes me excited. Like, I rarely get this excited, like, on the podcast. But, like, it makes me excited because, like, it just takes me back to the moment where when I was feeling like fucking shit, like telling myself all this stupid shit in Tampa, and then you fucking hop on stage. I think you were with somebody, and they like they helped walk you upstage.
Ramir.
It was him?
Ramir.
And I
picked
just
me up.
He picked you up, and I was like, what? Holy, I've never seen something like this. And that is that kind of like life culture shock, whatever you want to call it, that more people need.
Mm, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, I mention it a lot in like when I talk in podcasts. Drake, Lil Wayne. Tony Robbins is your Lil Wayne.
100%.
And Tony Robbins didn't become Tony Robbins to be the only person, because if it wasn't for Tony Robbins, to be quite honest, we probably wouldn't be sitting here.
None of these cats.
None of these freaking people in our industry would be doing what they're doing or speaking or writing books. You, like, he's like passing that torch. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, it's up to you what you do with that torch. And I like that you speak to ego, you speak to all these things that shouldn't really be part of the way that we think, because you have a big responsibility now. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to prove yourself to anybody except to yourself. So now it's a different Nick. It's like Nick 2.0, 3.0, 4, whatever you want to call it. It's a new era of Nick, and whoever could learn from you, right, whoever could learn from, be selfless, help others. And I'm sure there's days where you don't feel like going up on stage or doing a podcast, but you do. You don't stop. You never stop. And your parents must be so proud of you. Like, if you were my kid, holy shit. Like, they must look at you and be like, remember like the Nick that was like 5 or 6 years old, maybe struggling, like you mentioned waffles and this and that. And then they're in the American Airlines Arena, which is the Miami-Dade Arena now, because it's not FTX anymore. Because of obvious reasons. And you're like talking to your parents like, yo, look at me, mom. That's crazy, bro. I don't even know what to say to you. Like, I'm super I feel like I did that day I saw you for the first time. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's good shit. That's what you do to people, man.
Thank you, brother. You're making me emotional. I'll end with this as well. Is it's easy to feel like a loser when you don't keep score. And sometimes takes you sitting in a podcast for someone else to say, hey, I've seen how far you come, and it means the world to me.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
I see how far you're coming. I see where you're going, and you got my support, bro. Like, whatever you need, whether it's sharing an episode of yours, whether it's buying a ticket to one of your events, whether it's supporting one of your businesses.
Join my inner circle too, with your people.
Yeah.
It's I give my soul to these people.
Remind us, where do we find that inner circle again?
Yeah. mindofavictor.com, and you can get a free trial. Leverage it. Leverage me as much as possible. I'm in the Discord talking to people. Like, it's me.
Yeah.
Texting with my one finger. Like, ding, 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 ding. You know, I'm in there. Like, I'm with my people. So I'm going to build this.
Do you
to
voice text?
No, I text. I do both.
Yeah.
But I'll text them pretty fast with one finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my goal is to build this up to 10,000 members across the world, have chapters in different countries and states, and have this big victorious inner circle family.
Yeah. Have you ever done like South American or like even Spain store? Like, people speak other languages, hear you speak?
Yeah. So before COVID,
sometimes they have the translator.
Before COVID, I did massive tours in China. They love me in China. Yeah, I'm a unicorn. They've never seen anything like it, right?
Yeah.
And so I've toured, grateful for the opportunity, right up until COVID. I toured China probably 5 or 6 times.
Wow.
And would like to go back, despite politics and all that. Like, if they let me back, I'll go back.
If you could make one wish come true today, that is not being physical Nick how Nick is now, what would that wish be?
Say it again.
If you could make one wish come true, that is not, I want to walk with two legs or have my full arm back or whatever it is, something that's non-physical, what wish would you want fulfilled for Nick, his family, or Nick's existence in general?
for everybody to be exposed to the tools that I give people. Right? Life's fucking hard. And people only know what they know. And a lot of people are struggling. And they're unaware and they're unconscious and they don't have great guides and they have only been exposed to shitty information. I wish everybody could just be exposed to the life tools. Not only been exposed to the life tools that I give people, but apply the life tools. So they realize that all the shit in their life has actually cultivated them into the beast that they are. But people only know what they know. We're cut from the same cloth of God. We're cut from the same cloth of the Creator. Whatever you believe in, you think you're stardust, we're stardust. If you think you're God, you're God. Like, we're way powerful than you think you are. And they don't want us to know that. So I want to give some people tools to help break out of the matrix.
Yeah. And you're doing it. So your selfless wish is that more people could be helped through the message that you're putting out.
The tools, right? The tools that I've been given, tools that I learned, to trickle it down. Because that's the thing, man. People don't have the tools. They weren't taught it. They weren't given them.
Or they think they don't have the tools. That's the problem. They think they don't have the tools, but the tool is in here.
Yep.
Right?
They just don't have the operating manual then.
Yeah. They don't have the operating
manual. Right? Well, no one told them how to operate it.
Nobody.
How do I operate this thing?
Yeah.
So that's what I would wish.
How do you want to be remembered?
Ooh, how do I want to... The guy with no legs who made a massive footprint in the world.
Yeah.
A big ass print.
I see. Okay. The footprint. I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Don't let that go over your head.
Hey, it went over my head for like half a second. Yeah, I love that. Nick, dude, it means a lot that you're here today. I love that you came here today. I was super excited driving on the way here. Like you said, I just had a baby.
You did.
But this was super important. This is a big year for me. There's a lot of incredible things happening. The podcast has grown tremendously. We had a very long overdue in-person like chat and podcast. And I want people to know where they could find you on social media, where you're most active,
yep,
how they could best connect with you and, you know, be part of your community.
100%. So Nick Santanastasso, you can type in Nick Santo, and I'm the greatest looking man with no legs of an arm and tattoos. You can't miss me. And I'm mostly active on Instagram and Facebook, but I'm on all platforms. And if they go to, even if they go to my Instagram and they click the bio, they can get inside my circle too.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And I want to acknowledge you, by the way, as we end off, like if you want to know if this guy's the real deal, is the real deal right here, serving so many people. Just had a baby 10 hours ago, and he's still here trying to give you the best content in the mental syntax. And so you're the real deal. And if you want some reiteration, this guy's legit, and he's here to serve you. And you do this on your own time, right? Like you do, like these podcasts, like you invest money into the podcast to give information to people. And so what a blessing. And I want to thank you for the work you do as well.
Of course, man. We got to keep working to help other people who have lost their way. Mm-hmm. Or maybe never even found their way. We're here. Nick's here. I'm here. You may not necessarily always have somebody to help you or be able to have one-on-one contact, but there is social media. And Nick and I met because of social media, because social media brought us together to an event to be able to learn. In that same event, I met one of my other mentors. So if you took anything from this, get out there. Talk to people. You feel like you're not good enough. You feel like you're not pretty enough. You feel like you're not smart enough. Only you think that. Right. And if anybody thinks that of you, it's probably like that little girl who said that mean shit in the bus. She's hurt. He's hurt. They're just projecting. Don't let your thoughts or other people's thoughts dictate what you can't or can't do. Just know you can do whatever you want. You just have to give yourself the opportunity. You have to surround yourself with the right people. Be part of inner circles. Be part of events. Be part of communities. Don't be afraid to help out for free a little bit. Look what Nick did with Tony's foundation, right? His charity, like all the charity work that Tony does. You need to be able to step out of your box and know that the world is at your fingertips and you can do whatever you want. And that's the message that we're giving here on Hustle Inspires Hustle. So we really appreciate you guys. We're in Miami today at HGAP Studios. This is Hustle Inspires Hustle. Alex Quinn, Nick Santanastasso. Make sure you stay tuned in to the show notes so you could access more information about Nick, his inner circle, his tours, everything that he has going on. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe, make sure you share, make sure you send it to somebody you feel may benefit from this. Guys, thank you so much. It's been 3 years that we've been doing this. There's a ton of you now all over the place listening. This is Nick's second time on the podcast. We know it's not his last. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Crushed it.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's A-L-E-X-Q-U-I-N. See you on the next episode.